Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hour number two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Trade deadline day in the NFL. One early morning, late night trade involving the Dallas Cowboys. Otherwise, nothing yet. Anything happens, we'll go right to the trade desk with Billy Lanny. Patriots have only subtracted, no additions yet. So we'll continue to monitor that. We got tiers. We're going to tier off the top and bottom teams in the NFL. Coming up at 11:30, everything in between. Plus, we got Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday high noon. And Keith for Madness for you at 12:45. But let's get to the Celtics, Keith.
Oh, no.
That was a... If the Rockets game, as Terp put it, and we'll talk to Terp tomorrow, Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon.
Yeah.
If the Rockets game was a scheduled loss for the Celtics, this was a scheduled win.
Yeah, the Jazz should have been.
Are horrible.
Yep.
They were on the second night of a back-to-back. The Celtics were well-rested with something to prove after getting blitzed by the Rockets. The Jazz were without Walker Kessler last night. So I don't understand how that happened. And they started hot. They were hitting shots early.
Yep.
Scal was talking about it's the best ball movement he's seen. I think he said in years.
Oh,
I'd have to double check.
Yeah.
But he was just
ball was humming.
Bullish on the ball movement last night.
Yep.
And then they wind up losing to the Jazz 105-103.
Yeah, a bunch of different things.
Easily their grossest, most disgusting loss of the year.
So this was, like all your fear. So you have a horrible quarter, right? The third quarter is where things just absolutely fell apart. You also, the fear of them not being a good rebounding team took place. They got absolutely demolished rebounding, and they couldn't throw it in the ocean. So if you're going to get out-rebounded by 20 and then shoot 11 of 51 from three.
Say that again?
11 that's, for 51.
Oh, that's not great.
No, it's not.
The 11's at least okay. 51?
11 for 51. Yes. Jaylen Brown 0 for 9 from behind the stripe. So they've had a lot of issues. They're worse than I thought they were going to be. I mean, they're 3-5, so that alone's bad. But just the way they've played, they're worse than I thought. And I'll say it right now, and this is going to pain me because he's a nice player and everybody seems to like him. Derek White is killing him.
He's
awful.
He's broken.
He is a mess. And so we all love Derek White. We love Derek White. You know what?
They broke him.
Wrong. We love Derek White when he's the fifth best player on your team.
Yeah.
When he's your second best player, you're screwed. I thought he was going to be an all-star this year. I thought he'd be 20-plus points per game. Obviously, you're like, oh, his defense is always going to be there. But now he's going to be stepping up his rebounds because all your top rebounders from a year ago are gone. He's going to take a lot of threes, but that's okay because he's going to make a lot of threes. It's 8 games into the season for him. Horrible. He's been far and away their most disappointing player. And I know, you know, Peyton Pritchard struggled to shoot from three, but he's tried to help you out in other ways. I think Derek White has been a disaster.
I'm with you, too. And, like, Derek White is, he represented Team USA. He's a fringy all-star type of player.
Should be an all-star.
So, right.
Or, like, knocking on the door of an all-star, not like a guarantee.
Peyton Pritchard is sixth man of the year. I think fans like Peyton Pritchard, and there were heightened expectations about Peyton Pritchard, but I think people knew what Pritchard was. Yeah, this is, I mean, Derek White looks broken, and they broke him. He took 9 field goals last night, 8 were threes. Like, that ratio is horrible. He's the worst defender of this out of anybody on the Celtics team.
It was actually a better percentage than he has for the season. I think for the season, he's shooting like 26%.
Oh, on
from three.
I'm sorry, on his makes. I just meant, I meant he took 8 of his 9 field goals were from three.
That's
what I mean. That's just a broken ratio with the team.
Oh, he's now Duncan Robinson.
He's the worst defender of it, yeah.
He's Duncan Robinson on offense, but he's not even doing anything more.
He's Duncan Robinson, yeah.
But, like, you need him to be way more than that. Again, Duncan Robinson, he's like in and out of the lineup in his career.
He's Duncan Robinson will mix in like a block here and there.
Yeah,
he'll block. He'll get the block. Yeah.
People love him. People love Derek White.
I like him, but he is now miscast, and he is the grossest example of how they play basketball. The 11 out of 51.
Yeah.
And again, he had a better percentage last night than he's had. 3 out of 8 isn't horrible. 9 field goals and 8 of them are threes. That's horrible. And he's the worst offender of it on a team where there's a lot of offenders.
And I thought his like overall game was going to be better. I'm not surprised because even would watch last year games where Tatum was out or even some of the other guys were out and his scoring would go up. It was very relied on the three-point shot. Like Derek White took a lot of threes, and we go pull up like the playoff logs and stuff from last year. He takes a lot of threes, but he would make more. He would also be involved. He'd be like more of a playmaker. He would just be like all over the court. We're like, oh my God, like what a winner, for lack of a better word. Like he was great. And it almost made you feel like, all right, you can afford to move on from Jrue Holiday because you have Derek White. And yeah, obviously Jason Tatum not being there is brutal, but a guy like Derek White will step up his scoring. He'll be better. He's scoring less. Like, how are you scoring less than when you had Porzingis and Horford and Tatum taking all these shots?
Because he's not open. And he's not taking, you know, any more catch-and-shoot threes. I think Terp talked to us about this last week, and I'm sure he has the metrics to back it up. They're like all these gross pull-up threes and, like, in-transition threes, and, you know, they're not catch-and-shoot where he's open and has time to shoot. For the most part, I'm sure some of those are in there. It's, like, off the dribble or in-transition, and it's these pull-up threes. And yeah, they're just, he's not going to be as efficient, and that's why he's scoring less.
Well, because and now teams know, too. They're like, he's not the fifth option.
He's the number two option. Yeah. And so he doesn't get the benefit of defenses focusing on Tatum and Brown, and Porzingis is drawing double teams because of his size, and even Jrue Holiday can knock down open shots. You can't leave him. The spacing was better. There were more open looks. He can't benefit from that, so he's getting exposed. Like, I agree with the Twitch chat, and it scrolled past, but somebody in there said he's getting exposed in a big way.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
He is.
Yeah. It's bad.
That doesn't make him a bad player. That makes their approach this offseason offensive.
But he went from being, like, the most underrated player in the league to maybe now it swings the other way. And that's what happens with every player. Like, you're only the most underrated player in the league until you become overrated. And now, you're right, he's technically miscast, but going into the season, I didn't think he was. Going into the season, I was like, all right, good. Like, this is a guy that the 1-2 punch of Brown and White is going to be good enough, and then you're going to sort of be in the mix. Maybe Tatum comes back. And by in the mix, I mean, like, for a playoff spot, not you know, to win the whole thing. But then Tatum comes back, and you kind of go from there. And then, you know, in the years to come, he can go back to being the third option, or depending on what happens with your roster, maybe the fourth option. But right now he's the second option, and he's killing them.
57% of their shots, 51 out of 89, were threes last night. And it's like, you saw it at the end of the game. They were down, I don't have the game log right in front of me, but I want to say they were down like 7. And Jalen like went to the hoop 3 straight times, or like maybe Pritchard went once, and Jalen went, and they like immediately closed the gap. Like right away, they were right back in the game. It's like, well, no kidding.
No, but take threes.
Put the ball on the floor. Go to the hoop. Now, the irony is Derek White actually hit a three to put him in front. How they got back into the game was putting their head down and going to the basket. And the modern NBA, I get you want to shoot threes. You need to be able to launch threes. You don't need to shoot 51 of them. You don't need to attempt the most in the league. It's been a minute since I've checked this. They were attempting the most. They were basically attempting the same.
I can't imagine that
as
changed
a year ago.
Yeah.
And let me give it to you. Celtics, rather, three-point attempts, 47.8. That's the most by at least two attempts a game. More than Cleveland. Okay? Their three-point percentage as of right now, they're 29th. They're 31.2. So they attempt the most. They shoot the second worst. The only team they outshoot from three is the Indiana Pacers. Text line. Guys, if you bring me your car 51 times and I only get it right 11 times, what are you going to say?
And well, I mean, they're not going to make
it. It doesn't need to be that high of a hit rate.
Yeah.
But that is drastically low, shockingly low.
Yeah.
Most attempts, second fewest makes in terms of percentage in the league, second worst percentage. So that to me is offensive. And then I got to hear Jaylen Brown after the game. Did you see I know you saw what happened.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the no call on the quote unquote trip?
I actually didn't think it was that bad call.
So I'm with you.
I kind of didn't. And I was like, I wanted to take Jalen's side, honestly. I wanted to take the Celtics side, but I watched it.
How much you
like,
hate refs, I'm actually stunned you have the same opinion.
Well, okay. I watched it. I'm like, am I missing something? So you watch it live, and then you watch the replay of it, and I'm like, I don't know. It looked like Jalen was slipping anyway. And maybe he's slipping because of that. But, like, there wasn't contact when you were slipping. And then you kind of, like, stepped over him a little bit.
And you hear Scal and Drew Carter having a conniption.
Well,
and I'm like, well, okay. So, like, let's see the replay. He must have kicked his leg out. He didn't kick his
leg.
He fell on the floor. He didn't kick his leg out. I agree. It also looked like Jalen was slipping to the floor. There was a pool report after the game. The official.
Because, like, think about this. Like, if I don't want to overcomplicate things, but if a guy falls in front of you and say it, like, but he doesn't touch you and then it makes you, like, travel. Well, yeah, like, you traveled because the guy fell on the floor, but if he didn't touch you, then it's not a foul on that player. So, like, and this is the same thing where, like, there was, like, very little, if any, kind of contact. And yeah, he ended up getting kind of tripped up because the guy was down, but I don't think he fouled him.
Kevin Scott, the crew chief, to a pool report, said, quote, during live play, the crew observed George slip and fall prior to Brown slipping on the same spot, resulting in the ball becoming loose prior to any contact. So I mean,
kind of agree with that.
I do, too.
I don't want to.
And look, if they called it, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. That's a I wouldn't have been like irate if they called it.
Right.
But I didn't think that was an egregious no call. I know not everyone agrees, including Jalen Brown. This is Jalen whining about it after the game. And this is important to know. I didn't realize this. I thought this was at the podium. Jalen typically talks at the podium. Apparently, this was just a scrum, so he didn't go to the podium. He did this interview while Derek White was at the podium.
Nice.
So a little bit sneaky by Celtics Media Relations. Maybe they knew Jalen was hot. And apparently, he only took two questions.
Okay.
So this is Jalen Brown sounding off after the game in a game where they shot 11 out of 51 from three. A game where they can't box out on the go-ahead putback. We haven't talked about that.
Your guy Nurkic.
My guy Nurkic. I was always a believer. Always love Yusef Nurkic. Yep. I have a long-standing track record on that, if you know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And also, Nemias Keita missed a free throw that would have put him up later in the game. He only hit one of two. So all those other things happen, and this is what Jalen decides to do after the game.
You can't have a mistake like that as an official at that point in the game. It's fourth quarter. It's a minute left in the game or less. And you completely, the whole staff blows the f*** off. You know what I mean? Cost us a game. Like, unacceptable. You can make mistakes at any point of the game, but right there, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. That's unacceptable. And then they're telling me, like, oh, like, we didn't see it. Like, how none of you see it? Like, you can't trip somebody in the fourth quarter and then just be a no-call. It's some bull.
That's what cost them the game. That was the whole game came down to that one play. I mean, there was under a minute to go. I get it. You're up by one. But also, I think if you're Jalen Brown and you have the handle that you have, you might not get the benefit of the doubt. Right? Like, if it's somebody else, maybe they do. But with him, he loses the ball quite a bit.
Yeah.
At least that was with his right hand, wasn't his left.
He tends to lose the basketball when he's just dribbling by himself, not tripping over somebody.
This is a good text. Trust me. I want to be against the refs. I also want to be for the Celtics, but that's not a play where I would see it that way. This text is a good one. The house is on fire, and we're complaining about the Pepsi stains on the carpet. Thanks, Jalen Brown. No, seriously, this team is a...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Mess right now. They're 3-5. They just lost to the Jazz in another game where they had a second half lead. And I know that's not all that uncommon in the NBA, but still, it's not like you just got blitzed from this game and you're out of it. And you lose at home to an inferior team. You miss a million threes. You get out rebounded, not 2-1, but you get smoked on the glass. They out rebounded by 19 rebounds. A bunch of your guys have bad games again. And Jalen Brown's like, oh, that call that went against us, that cost us the game.
They have the ball down one with 47 seconds left. I'm sorry, up one.
No, they're up one.
With 47 seconds left. Jalen has the ball. He turns it over. Markkanen goes up. Nemias Keita gets fouled. He hits one of two. So you hit two free throws, you're up. He doesn't do that.
Nope.
if he boxes out on Nurkic at the end of the game, you would have won.
Right.
Never mind the 11 out of 51. Never mind the Jazz are terrible. Never mind they're without one of their best players last night.
You still could have won the game even after that call.
And the Jazz are on the second night of a back-to-back while you've been waiting. I thought they were going to answer after the Rockets spanked them embarrassingly on Saturday night. And the Rockets are a better team, and they showed it. But I thought the Celtics would have something to answer to, and they didn't. And there were a million different ways they could have won that game. There's a million things to be frustrated at instead of some no-call that I'm with you. I think the officials got right.
Mm-hmm.
And crying about that after the game tells me things are a little off.
If Brown makes one of his 9 threes, they win the game.
Yeah.
If you play it that way.
Nick is a little steamed at Jalen, by the way.
Steamed at Jalen?
Yeah.
Why did you lose a bet?
I do.
Oh, I thought, weren't you not thrilled about his assist to turnover ratio and all these other things?
How do you have 34 assists and 31 turnovers on the season?
It's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
And you also made the
point. I get guys aren't making shots, but you still turn the ball over 31 times already?
And you made
8 games in.
What's Pritchard? Wasn't he like 42
to 9?
Like
41 and 9.
Okay. So
it's doable.
People are making shots with Pritchard, and he's not turning it over every other second.
Yeah.
And Jalen Brown is. So what's up with that?
No, that's tough.
Never mind the effort being questioned after the game. Both Derek White and Joe Mazzulla questioned the Celtics' effort after the game. I guess no one talked after the game on Saturday night.
This Jaylen, is way worse.
Jalen only took 2 questions last night and kind of hid in the middle of Derek White, and then he did that. Like,
yikes.
I wonder if things are more off than we even realize with the Celtics sitting here at 3-5.
Just turn it over to Hugo. Hugo and Garza. Those guys play hard. You don't think Hugo plays hard?
He plays hard. I don't know if he plays well. I'm okay with Garza.
Garza's not bad.
And I'm okay with Minot, although that's worn off
Lawnmower,
a little bit.
Yeah, cool.
I'm okay with those guys. I don't know how okay I am with Hugo. He plays hard. I mean, he's definitely
plays
out there.
Plays hard?
He's trying his hardest.
Okay.
Let's pat him on his head for trying his hardest, but I don't know if I like what he's doing out there.
Yeah, this is rough. It's a rough go.
Mike is in Connecticut on the Celtics. Go ahead, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hope everybody's doing all right. So, it's a funny situation when the way the narrative is when people talk about the officiating, because if the Celtics were a good team and they were contenders, I guarantee you everybody's narrative about the officiating last night would have been completely flipped. They would have said, oh, I can't believe he didn't get this call. Jalen Brown's a superstar. But because the Celtics aren't contenders and because we don't have Tatum and nobody's expecting much out of us, it's like, oh, why are you complaining about the officiating? And everybody's narrative changes. But the fact is, Jalen Brown's an all-NBA player. He's one of the top 15 players in the NBA, and he didn't get the call when every other top 15, 20 player in the NBA gets that call. And
Mike,
if you look at it,
Mike, this
George.
Mike, this is a fair point. Honestly, like, do you think why Jalen's so upset?
Yeah, reputation.
Is Jalen's like, everybody else gets that. Tatum would have got that call. Why don't I? I mean, if that might explain why Jalen was so annoyed, is he's like, I'm now the number one on this team. And I don't know what that says about Jalen or how I should even feel about it, but is that why he was so frustrated? That's an interesting point.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. And because I think that's a fair way of looking at it, too. It's not necessarily that it was the right or wrong call. It's just we know it's the NBA. We know LeBron's getting that call.
Everybody gets that call. And Jalen.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander almost got the call. He didn't even play in the game.
Jalen puts himself in that group.
Yeah,
honestly,
fair.
I had not thought about that. That's why he's
also,
so pissed.
Now it's early in the year, but it's going to be hard to put yourself in that group when your first chance to be the number one guy and you're on a sub 500 team. Those guys don't get all the calls. They don't get all the credit. Somebody scores 25 points on a bad team. It's not like that special. And you won't be all NBA unless your team is in the playoffs. I mean, that not very infrequently does a guy make the All-NBA team if they're not a playoff team that year.
If you guys don't think that cost us the game, you guys should not talk about basketball.
All right.
Yes, every other play should have been done, but that play did cost us the game. Again.
I don't think it did.
With the no call there.
Yeah.
Kata hits his free throws, you're up. Kata boxes out, you win. I mean, it's as simple as that. Never mind if you make one more out of your 51 threes.
They also weren't guaranteed to score on that possession. It's not like it took points off the board.
It's a good point. Or, I don't know, you take 42 threes and go to the basket more, which they had a lot of success at last night, and maybe the game goes different.
I watched that replay like a million times. I don't still think it was a foul.
617-779-7937. You can talk Celtics here. We'll tier off NFL teams on a tier Tuesday in a moment. But, Keith, the Patriots have made a move, not trade. They've made a move. Have you seen this?
I have seen the move.
According to Jordan Schultz.
This should help.
Who has been adamant.
Schultz.
Adamant that the Patriots will be buyers.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I don't believe it for 1 second. If he's right, we'll see. But I don't believe for 1 second. He said the Patriots will be buyers. Maybe this is what he was talking about. Sources. The Patriots are signing wide receiver Brendan Rice, the son of Hall of Famer Jerry Rice. the former USC star.
Star?
12 touchdowns as a senior. Spent camp with the Chargers. Yeah, but 12 touchdowns. He had 791 yards on 45 catches.
Well, he was a seventh-round pick.
He was a red zone threat.
In 2024.
It's a pretty good average, though.
It is. It's good yards per catch.
Yeah.
That's their move.
Okay.
To shore up the receiver room. Now, look. I want depth in the receiver room. Like, he was a seventh-round pick a year ago. So, like, he was drafted by the Chargers. Maybe there's something there. Maybe not. I have no idea. Started his career at Colorado. Played at USC. He was much better with the Trojans. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with bringing in a guy like this, but I hope they have more moves and this isn't their move of the day. That's what I would
this
say.
This better not be the move of the day. The move du jour? No.
Don't you kind of think it is?
No. No, I don't think so.
You think they're making a trade to add to the team?
Yeah, because this is just wide receiver. This might have more to do with just depth and Kayshon Booty and limited injuries.
I hope I'm wrong. I don't think they're making a move to add. If anything, I think they're making another move to track with Jennings.
I mean, maybe they don't trade for a wide receiver, but I still think they could trade for another position.
They could. I just kind of listening to Callahan and Bedard and Breer and Reese and everybody.
But this feels like a move they might have made even in a non-trade deadline week. This is just like a move.
I agree. This is a depth move. Is it even a practice squad move? Is it to the 53-man roster?
I haven't gotten the email yet.
When he says they sign him,
yeah,
he didn't sign
the paper.
He didn't say to the practice squad. So I guess I don't know. I hope they do more than this. And it's not a trade, and you're right. This could just be an everyday type of move that could happen 50 million times throughout the course of an NFL season.
This might be an appetizer to the main course.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But Jerry Rice's kid, now in the Patriots wide receiver room, which, if nothing else...
Not Jerry Rice Jr., which is another kid that played.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, he had a Jerry Rice Jr.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no, this is Brendan Rice.
If nothing else, I would say it's another sign Booty's probably not playing this week. If they're bringing in a body in the wide receiver room...
I'd rather have Sidney Rice.
Ooh!
Or Rashi Rice.
Definitely Rashi Rice.
Not Ray Rice.
No.
The bad guy.
Bad guy.
Yeah. Probably washed.
Probably now washed.
Yeah.
But he could play.
Is he... Yeah. Is he with us?
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
He
I
is.
Mean, not presently in the room, but like, yeah, he is.
No, Sidney Rice. I want to say we're going nuts about Jerry Rice's kid in college. I think Sidney Rice might have. Nope, I take that back.
Sidney Rice was nice.
Eight touchdowns and 1,300 yards for the Vikings in 2009.
Pro bowler. Not bad.
One time. That's your random football player
hot.
Of the day. Yeah.
Well, some people receiving touchdowns or total touchdowns. He had a couple punt returns.
That was receiving touchdowns. So I don't know.
Nice play. He didn't return punts.
I thought he did early in his career.
Oh, maybe early. Some people have been asking for random football player of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would really piss off the random baseball player of the day people.
Yeah.
We could go back to college basketball player.
We'll wait for March.
Warring
if we make
factions,
it to March.
They are warring factions.
They
That's
are. Because as soon as I think, hey, maybe we go somewhere else, the baseball people get really upset.
Nick is right. Sidney Rice had, in 2009, one kickoff return for 0 yards.
Never mind.
So he
maybe
did
it was
return.
Just only Percy Harvin back then.
He remembered that, though.
He did.
He remembered that one play.
617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback coming up. You want to jump in on the Celtics and the Patriots at the trade deadline? You can. Plus, it's a Tier Tuesday. We're tearing off NFL teams.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.